Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening. Subscribe and follow the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. What a night. What a win. What a football team we have here in Philadelphia. Eagles 26, Commanders 18, an 8-2 team, six straight victories, number one spot all by themselves in the NFC. So I got seven big takeaways from a huge win over the Washington Commanders at Lincoln Financial Field. Let's start with number one, and let's not beat around the bush anymore. Let's call it for what it is. The defense is Eagles Super Bowl special. Go back and look at the Eagles' defenses that have made the Super Bowl in recent time. I'm not going to go all the way back to 1980. But let's take it 04, 17, 22, the modern-day defenses that we all remember pretty well. Okay, 04, 17, 22, and then let's compare it to 2024 as the Eagles last night did the best job anyone's done on Jaden Daniels. They shut down the Commanders' running game after the one big drive they had. You know, most of the drives the Commanders had last night were four plays or less. They make the big stops late. They have an incredible corner right now with Quinyon Mitchell. They have a playmaker with Cooper DeJean. They have an absolute wrecking ball force with Jalen Carter, and they've got as good of a linebacker, not named Fred Warner, in the NFL right now in Zach Bond. And they've got a pass rush by committee. And you know what that's equaled? It's equaled a defense that is either as good or better than of any of the last three Eagles defenses that made the Super Bowl. Let's play this out, okay? Let's go. I'll give you four key metrics, okay? Yards allowed per game, total yards. Yards per play allowed, opponent's point per game, and opponent passer rating. Okay, those are the four that I look at when I'm trying to determine which defenses are good enough to get a team to the Super Bowl. Okay, let's start with the team we currently have now. Yards per game allowed, 273.1, number one in the NFL. Yards per play, 4.7. Opponent points per game, 17.9. Opponent passer rating, 78.9. Okay, just think about that for a second. They're holding teams to under 18 points a game. They're holding opponent passers to an average passer rating of under 80. Their yards per play allowed is only 4.7, and they're allowing less than 275 yards per game, total yards per game. Okay, the last three Eagles Super Bowl teams, yards allowed per game, 292.8 in 2022, 322.7 in 2017, 317.5 in 2004. This defense allows by far the least yards per game of any of those defenses. Yards per play, 2022, 4.8. 2017, 5.2. 2004, 4.9. This defense allows the fewest yards per play of any of those defenses. Opponent points per game. 2 years ago in 2022, they allowed 19.8 points per game. In 2017, 18.2. In 2004, 16.2. This would rank second among those great four Eagles defenses we've seen in the last 20-plus years. Opponent passer rating, 78.9 right now. In 2022, it was 82.4. In 2017, it was 81. In 2004, it was 75.5. So this is the second best. And when you add in the context of how the league is just has a higher passer rating as a total, you could say on context, this is the best. This defense is up there, if not better, than the last three Eagles defenses to make the Super Bowl. That's takeaway number one. Takeaway number two is Jalen Carter has now met the hype. Okay, it's gone from flashes to what we saw last night was total and complete dominance. He wrecked that football game. He was in the backfield. He didn't take a snap off. He played all 66 snaps on a short week on a Thursday. That is as remarkable of an individual athletic performance from a man that big that I have ever seen. To play all 66 snaps on a short week, he just played Sunday in Dallas on the road. To come back and play, remarkable. He has found it now. And I expect him to wreck every single game. It doesn't mean he makes every single sack. I mean, last night he blew one play up, and I think it was Sweat that came in there and polished it off, or whoever it was. I think it was Sweat on that one. But he has an ability right now to destroy the game. And he destroyed the Commanders' three-headed rushing attack last night because of his ability to create penetration. He blew that final play up, the one where the final play where you felt like Washington really had a chance to win the game was when they went for the fourth down instead of the the 44-yard field goal, and the snap was all messed up, but it was also the pressure by Jalen Carter blowing that play up. He has arrived. He's shown why people said last year, if not for the off-the-field stuff, he would have been in the mix to be the number one overall pick. He is that brilliant of a player. There is shades of Sue early in his career. There's shades of Sapp. I see more Sue than Sapp, but whatever. It's a dominant physical player that just wrecks the football game. That's the takeaway number two. Takeaway number three is that Howie Roseman is on his way to a third Executive of the Year award and Canton. You know, when the Eagles were making their run to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, I said Howie Roseman is a future Pro Football Hall of Famer. There's not many executives. I'm trying to pull that list back up now. Did a show on this a few years ago. Because there's not many executives in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know, there's a handful maybe 10. And a lot of them had dual roles, like an Ozzie Newsome dual role in his career. So it's like, all right, you know, you might have, you know, a guy or two in the Hall of Fame, but they did other things, right? That's not like... When I'm thinking about general managers in the Hall of Fame, you think of the Bill Polians, right? The guys that were GMs. So Hall of Fame general managers, Tex Schramm, Al Davis, who was also an owner, Bill Polian, Ron Wolf, Bobby Bethard, Gil Brandt, George Young. There's just not many. And I believe Howie Roseman will be one of those one day. He could win his third Executive of the Year. I mean, you think about the contract for Saquon Barkley, who's been incredible so far this season for the Philadelphia Eagles. You think about the contract, the one-year deal for Zach Bond, who's been incredible for the Philadelphia Eagles. You think about Quinyon Mitchell with the 22nd pick, trading up to get Cooper DeJean with the 40th pick, even with the Bryce Huff mistake, and that's a mistake. And even with a third-round pick trade for Jahan Dotson, which is not going to kill his chances to win the Executive of the Year. It's Executive of the Year work by Howie Roseman. And, you know, I think he needs to probably either get to one more Super Bowl or win one more Super Bowl. Obviously, if he gets there, but at least get there, maybe win one more Super Bowl in his career. And he's still got a lot of time left. Howie's not an old man by any stretch of the imagination. You know, if he does that, and with this organization and with Howie, I believe they will, he's going to go to Canton. And he's a guy that people have argued about or used to argue about for years on WIP. He will be a Hall of Famer one day. Howie Roseman on his way to a third Executive of the Year award. All right, takeaway number four. There's a Nick Sirianni comp that I missed. I just missed it, and I have not been the biggest Nick Sirianni fan over the years. The little stuff bothers me. The in-game stuff bothers me. Doesn't seem very buttoned up, too emotional, but obviously he does some things really well. He gets his team prepared. His team really plays hard for him. They like him. I do think he is detailed in terms of practice stuff. I do think he made necessary adjustments this year. There's some admirable things about Nick Sirianni as a coach. It's part of the reason the Eagles have won so many football games with him here the last four seasons. But there's a comp that I've missed because it's hard to kind of place. People put up these stats like he's the best, you know, eighth best winning percentage ever or whatever through 4 years. Okay. You know, I've seen other coaches get off to good starts, and that's not going to move me. And he's got a great roster, so how much credit do I give him for this? But I heard last night when he was talking about going in, or he spoke about it, you know, going into the locker room and what was the message and how the game is grimy and we got to be grimy. And I think about, you know, I'm surprised I missed this comp because I, for years, have comped Jalen Hurts to Steve McNair. You know, Jalen Hurts reminds me of Tennessee Titans Steve McNair, the way he plays the game. Like when he ran for that first down last night and he reached his arm out, he plays with physical toughness at the quarterback position. Not the most pretty. The stats aren't going to be otherworldly, but he plays with a physical nature. He sets the tone for his football team. And I think he just reminds me so much of Steve McNair. Throws a pretty deep ball down the field. You know, McNair wasn't a perfect player. But McNair had an MVP award. He finished third in MVP. He made three, four Pro Bowls. Finished, you know, top five in Offensive Player of the Year a couple times. He was a runner at the position on top of everything else he did. You know, ran for 3,590 yards in his career, 37 touchdowns. I've always been reminded of Steve McNair when I watched Jalen Hurts. And the funny thing is I never connected the dots. You know, Sirianni's got some Jeff Fisher to him. And let's not, don't before you jump, and say, come on, Joe, he's way better than Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher morphed into a guy as his career went on and on and on that became more of this 500 coach. But that's not what he was from 99 to 03. You know, Jeff Fisher had a five-year stretch where he went 56-24, won 70% of his games, four double-digit win seasons, two title games appearances, and a Super Bowl appearance, okay? Sirianni right now is at 68.8% career winning percentage and could get to his second title game. We know he's been to a Super Bowl. So I think the stretch Sirianni's in right now, very similar to the stretch that Fisher had with McNair circa 99 to 03. They were near the top of the league. They were tough. They were the kind of team you thought they could get to the Super Bowl every year. They ended up getting there once, and then they went back to a title game and lost that in 02 to the Oakland Raiders. And who knows? We could have an Eagles-Lions title game where they will be underdogs like the Titans were to the Raiders, and we'll see what happens. But that comp is, it's been sitting out there, and I missed it. I missed that comp. There is a lot of early career Jeff Fisher to Nick Sirianni, not a schemer, not a play caller, but more of a motivator, players coach, grimy, preparer, practice guy, core value guy, and he's got this tough physical quarterback. That's the new comp I'm going to have for Nick Sirianni. So that's takeaway number four.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake, to find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Lamonte Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Takeaway number five is, and I say this, and I don't want to go overboard because we need more evidence. And we're not ready to say he's this good yet. I'm not, at least. But how do you not start to think, are we watching something special with Quinyon Mitchell? Like Revis Island kind of special. When you watch Terry McLaurin go up against it for 20 coverage snaps and the ball's not even thrown his way one time. Quinyon Mitchell has looked the part from day one of minicamp to training camp to the season. Getting on the field with the Isaiah Rodgers injury early, staying on the field even after everyone got healthy, becoming a star outside corner, zero targets to Terry McLaurin, their best wide receiver. Okay, that's how dominant Quinyon Mitchell has been. And you start to look at some of the names and look at some of the guys that have really done nothing against the Philadelphia Eagles when going up against Quinyon Mitchell. It is a remarkable list of receivers that have really been locked down. So one-on-one versus Quinyon. Drake London, one catch, 5 yards. Chris Olave, 2 catches, 23 yards. Mike Evans, 2 catches, 19 yards. Amari Cooper, 1 catch, 10 yards. Malik Nabers, 1 catch, 9 yards. Jamar Chase, 2 catches, 19 yards. CeeDee Lamb, 1 catch, 5 yards. Terry McLaurin, 0 catches. I mean, we're talking about there, Chase a top five receiver. Lamb's a top five receiver. Evans a top 10 receiver. Olave's top 20 receiver. London and Cooper are good players. Nabers is going to probably approach that one day. I would say McLaurin's a top 15 receiver. So we're talking about some of the best receivers in the NFL. The challenges won't stop. Next week, it'll be Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua. You know, down the line, it'll be a George Pickens. Down the line, it'll be CeeDee Lamb again, Malik Nabers again. You get into the postseason in the NFC, and they'll see some good ones. I mean, obviously, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams with the Detroit Lions, if that is an NFC championship game. You know, you start thinking about what different teams in this league have. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr., if we get to Arizona in the postseason. A Drake London again. How about Justin Jefferson if it's an Eagles-Vikings first-round game? Okay, there's all these really big-time players. Quinyon Mitchell has lived up to the hype, and then some. He's taken these guys out of the game. It has been remarkably impressive to watch this player. And the more it continues, the more I think the hype's going to continue. You know, next week when they go to Los Angeles, Sunday Night Football, it'll be 1-2 in the odds over at FanDuel Sportsbook right now to win the Defensive Rookie of the Year. Jared Verts, who I believe is the favorite, if the voting happened today, he would win it. Quinyon Mitchell on the other side. If Quinyon has a pick six or a big play or an interception and Verts is shut down, by next Monday, you know, 2 Mondays from now, it's not crazy to think Quinyon Mitchell could be the favorite for Defensive Rookie of the Year. So, you know, that is clear and obvious to me right now that Quinyon is becoming something like special. So, number one, defense for the Eagles is Super Bowl special. Number two, Jalen Carter has now met the hype. Number three, Howie Roseman on his way to a third Executive of the Year award. And number four, the Nick Sirianni comp I missed. Early career Jeff Fisher. Number five, Quinyon Mitchell bordering on Revis Island. Number six, it's now set up. The path for the Eagles set up just like 2017. So after the Eagles get back next Sunday night from Los Angeles, they won't get on a plane again until the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl if they play their cards right. If they finish this season strong, that could be the path. So they go to Los Angeles next week. After that, they go to Baltimore. That's a bus trip. They come home for Carolina, Pittsburgh, obviously at home. They go down to D.C. for a train ride or a bus trip. They come back home for Dallas and New York. Okay, let's say the Eagles win the division, and let's say they get the two seed. They don't get the number one seed. They get the two seed. They will be home for their first round playoff game against the seventh seed. If they win that game, they'll be home in the divisional round against the best team left. Obviously, the worst team left would go to the number one seed. So that means the Eagles, if they play their cards right and they win this division and they get the two seed, all very much right there for them right now, they don't have to get on a plane again until NFC Championship weekend when they fly to Detroit. And who knows if Detroit gets upset, if they slip up, if the Eagles are the number one seed, but whatever. If the NFC Championship game is here, they potentially wouldn't have to get on a plane again after next weekend until they fly to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. That is big time stuff. That's number six. And number seven, you know, all this good, all this great. We are approaching a kicker problem here with the Philadelphia Eagles. Jake Elliott has now missed four field goals, his most since 2020, one short of his career high. He had hit 67 straight extra points before tonight or last night, missed it. He had not missed two field goals in a game since 2019. He had never missed three kicks in a game before. He has now done that. You now look up to where Jake Elliott ranks in terms of kicking this year. He is one of one, two, three, you know, full-time kickers, like, you know, normal kickers, not guys that played a game or two because there was an injury. One of only three that has not kicked made a 50-yard field goal this year. He's 0-for-4 on kicks over 50 yards, 50 or over. And his field goal percentage, okay, where, you know, you think most of the league now is in the mid to upper 80s or 90s. I mean, you have 12 kickers from Butker to I guess we won't include, put them out there. 12 kickers, 12 full-time kickers right now that are at between 100 and 90% kicking, 12. Jake Elliott currently ranks 29th in field goal percentage this season at 73.7%. It's not good. I mean, it's not good. And Jake Elliott, 0-for-4, 50-plus. So it's certainly you have to consider what's going on here. You hope he's okay. But kickers could go bad. Good ones go bad. And that's a big deal now as you go down the stretch of the season. Can Jake Elliott rebound here? What a night for the Eagles. What a football team they have right now. 8-2, six straight wins. I need to get to Saquon because that's obvious. He's been amazing. O-line amazing. Defense amazing. This team's going places. Now with a trip to the Rams next week. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. We'll be celebrating on the midday show. Enjoy a great weekend. NFL picks in your feed coming up on Saturday. And we'll talk soon on WIP.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.